Good morning. I want to thank Mr. Henry for the words that he shared as he told us a little bit about his story. His story is quite a bit different from my story. And yet in many ways, our stories are very much alike. And that's what I've come here today to you to share a little bit of my story. Now, those who know me know that I am a respectable man. I have a position that demands some respect, and I carry myself with that respect of the office that I hold. But I know that you don't know me. You don't know the real me. And because you don't know me, you don't know what's deep in my heart. Now, I can tell you one thing, that though you don't know me, I feel pretty comfortable because I don't know you either. I don't know what you're really like deep down inside. But I know that all of us have that veneer of respectfulness. We look good on the outside, but none of us really can see what's deep down, what's in our hearts. And it's because we don't see one another as we really are that we sometimes fail to understand the difference that God can make in our lives. And that's what I want to tell you about, the difference that God made in my life. I know that if you knew me the way I know me, you probably wouldn't listen to anything I have to say. And if I knew you the way you know you, I wouldn't want to talk to you, so we're pretty even. All of us suffer from a curvature of the soul, and I am by no means an exception. But let me just begin by making a statement. It is good. It is wonderful to be forgiven. To know that you come into God's presence and your sins have been forgiven. The things you have been done have been washed away. You come into God's presence forgiven. There is nothing more wonderful than that. I don't know what your experience is with forgiveness, but if your experience with sin is like my experience with sin, then you understand the awesomeness, the goodness, the wonder of forgiveness. You see, my story is a story that underscores how important forgiveness really is. And that's what I want to share with you, because when I can tell you a little bit about me and where I've been, maybe you can feel and sense the importance of being forgiven. And that's what I want you to take away from this morning. That's why I've come today. So you could hear the difference that God can make in your life, the difference that He's made in my life. You see, my story is, again, not maybe all that different from Mr. Henry's or from your story, but my story is my story. And there was a time in my life when I wandered from God. I deliberately made choices that I knew were not honoring to God. And I chose to do my own thing and to basically stick it in the face of God. And over time, I began to realize how awful what I had done was. But I kept silent about that. There was no one, no confidant that I could go to share my guilt. There was no priest, no clergyman, no person that I could go to ask for help. And so I wallowed in my guilt. I was overwhelmed by my sin, and I just kept it to myself. I didn't speak it to anyone, and I certainly didn't speak it to God. You may wonder why. Why didn't I speak up? Why didn't I go to God? I don't know for sure. I think there was a side of me that kind of liked playing with sin. I wasn't sure that I was ready to do all that God wanted and be all that God wanted me to be, and so I wasn't sure I really wanted to be right with God, as miserable as I was. And I knew that I didn't want those around me to know what I had done. So I didn't feel compelled to talk to God, and I was afraid to talk to anyone else. And yet, I struggled. The guilt was overwhelming. At times, I felt as if I were carrying a great weight. I had no energy. I had no interest in doing much of anything. I just kind of drifted through my days, plodded through them, wondering what would happen. I wonder what would happen if someone discovered my sin. What would people think? What would those closest to me think? Day after day, it weighed upon me. It sapped my energy. It was like working out in the hot sun on a high humidity day. I just had no strength, no energy. I knew God was out there. I hadn't quit believing in Him. I just refused to follow Him on His terms. I wanted to do my thing, and I was pretty insistent that I was going to do what I wanted to do, and I didn't care about anything else except in doing what I did. I was miserable. Finally in my misery, you'll never guess what I did. When I came to my wit's end and I could stand it no longer, I confessed my sin. As simple a thing as it was something I had resisted for so long, and yet finally I just folded my hands. And I spoke to God. And I did what I should have done weeks before. I just admitted to Him that what I did was an offense to Him. What I did was wrong, and that I didn't want to do it, and that the things that I had done that seemed pleasurable for a time were overwhelming me, destroying me, ruining my relationship with God. Confession's not a difficult thing. It's really simply just agreeing with God that what you've done is wrong. And so I did. And here's the real kicker. This is the thing that just blew me away. When I confessed my sin, He forgave me. I didn't have to parade my sins in front of everyone. I didn't have to put on sackcloth. I just told God what I did was wrong. I agreed with Him that it was wrong. I told Him I wanted to be right with Him. And I was forgiven. I was restored. My relationship with Him was renewed. He gave me a fresh start. A new beginning. Wasn't until I was willing to recognize that what I was doing was sin, agree with God that it was sinful, and bow before Him and ask for forgiveness, that He forgave me. But when I confessed, He did exactly that. See, I tell you my story because but there is nothing that's more significant than renewing and restarting your relationship with God. And so I have come here today to encourage you that you too would find the joy in a new relationship with God, a renewed relationship with God. That if like me, you think of your story and you realize you've wandered from God and you're just keeping Him on the periphery of your life, and your life is missing that joy and that sense of vitality that comes from walking closely with God, my encouragement to you is simply to confess. In fact, I would like to pray for you. Let me pray for you right now. Oh God, I pray for these people. I don't know where they're at in their walk with you, but I know how easy it is to be lost, to move from the path. To lose your way with God. Father, I pray that you would restore to them that joy. Father, I pray that they would know that you are their protector. Lord, when I realized that you were my hiding place, I realized that you watched over me. I pray you would watch over them. I pray you would protect them from the dangers that come when they wander from you and they experience the flood of their sin and are overwhelmed by it. Oh God, help them. God, teach them, instruct them, guide them, watch over them, renew them. Amen. I pray that for you, but I also want to give you a warning. A warning that maybe some of you think this is somebody else's story. It's really not my story. And maybe you find yourself at odds with God today and you resist Him. You're here this morning and you feel His Spirit calling you
inviting you to come back to Him. And yet you resist. My encouragement to you is don't resist. Don't be like that dumb jackass who digs his hoofs in the ground while his owner pulls on the bridle and tries to cajole him to come get some food to eat or to do something that's good for him. We can be that way. You can be that way. I was that way. Don't resist God. If you feel Him today, if He's calling you today, don't put it off. This is the day to renew the relationship. This is the day to start again. This is the day to confess. And if, in fact, you do that, you too will experience the great joy that comes from a renewed relationship with God. You see, there is nothing so great as being forgiven. And when you've been forgiven, you understand there is reason to rejoice. And I say to you, rejoice. Be glad. Those of you who are upright, sing to Him, you who are upright in heart. When you know and experience God's forgiveness, you know the joy and the rejoicing that comes in your heart and in your life. This story that I just tried to tell you is a story that in many ways is my story as your pastor. And yet it's really not my story. It's the story of David. At least it's a story that is recorded for us in Psalm 32. David uses different words to convey the same thing, but it is a story of his waywardness and his restoration and the resulting praise that he gave to God. And I just like to let David speak for himself as we read through Psalm 32. And you can just follow along as I read it. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man or woman whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. Then I acknowledged my sin, and you did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess the transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you, while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect him from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. The deliverance of people who've confessed their sin. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing all who are upright in heart. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for the hope that is ours, that we don't have to wallow in our sin. I thank you that, unlike David, who only had the sacrifices of sin in the temple, we have a once-for-all sacrifice in the person of Jesus. He has forgiven us, and he will forgive us when we come to him. Father, I do pray, as David prayed for people here this day, pray that they might have songs of deliverance as they confess their sins and get right with you today. Lord, as we come before your communion table, as we're reminded of what your Son has done for us in these elements, I pray this would be a time for us to start afresh, to begin anew, that we might give praise to your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I wanted to share this psalm with you on Communion Sunday because it seemed very appropriate. As David brought his sin before God and found forgiveness in his confession, each of us can have forgiveness and a new start. It's not like we only do it once. It's not like we only sin one time. Most of us sin multiple times in a day, and even when we do the things that are right, we find that we don't always have pure motives in doing them. There's always need for a fresh start. Always need to confess. I had asked Sid to share his story because when I was at the AA meeting and each of the people who stood up to give their stories, as you know, they begin by giving their name. And they say, my name is Tori. I'm an alcoholic. Now, of the many sins in my life, the many struggles in my life, alcohol has been one of the few that I haven't had. But I could stand up here, and I should stand up here and say, my name is Tori. I'm a sinner. And there's something very healthy in an AA group that everyone comes admitting that they're struggling. And I told Sid after the meeting, sometimes we in the church are not nearly as good at that. We pretend we have these faces of respectfulness. And instead of admitting the fact that we are needy people, needing God's grace, we carry on the respectfulness. Well, this table is a reminder to us that we're sinners. That we need God's grace. That when Jesus died for our sins, he didn't just die for our past sins, but for our present sins and our future sins. And we need to constantly come back to him to find his forgiveness. So as we take these elements, my hope is that this will be a day in which I will be surrounded by the prayers of deliverance from all of you, songs of deliverance, that you have been released from the guilt, the struggle, free to serve God again. Every time we come to God's presence, we have that freedom, whether it's in personal prayer or in worship. But today, let's take advantage of that. Before I have the men come to take the elements, let's just bow before him. And just you personally, make sure you're right with God. Father, you cannot overlook our sin, for you are perfect and you are holy. Our rebellion, our guilt is an affront to you. But you don't overlook it. You dealt with it once and for all in the person of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, as we come to this table, we want to give you thanks. Thanks that you have made it possible for us to renew our relationship with you, to start again, to be forgiven. Father, I'm confident that there's bound to be a person or two today who has never, ever acknowledged their sin before you. They've lived with that sense of distance, that sense that they're not quite there, and this is the day that you invite them to agree with you and just get it right. But for most of us in this room, Lord, we have started a relationship with you. And we still struggle. So we ask for your forgiveness, your renewal, your restoration. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.